Well, good morning. We are in part three of our series, Don't Forget to Stretch, and we've been challenging you, all of us, hopefully together, that our faith is meant to be stretched. So that's the premise of what we've been doing for the last few weeks. Today we'll be in Joshua chapter 1. If you got a Bible with you, you can turn there. If you got a smartphone with a Bible app, you can turn there. If you got the game on, you can turn it off. Anyway, it's funny, I met somebody earlier, and they said, I've seen you from the stage, but boy, you look shorter in person. So if I sound angry when I'm speaking today, that's why. It was super disappointing. So next week, platform shoes, you'll probably assume I'm 6'8". I'm actually 5'2". So anyway, I remember being a kid growing up in this community. I grew up around here, and my mom worked at Pay and Save. Anybody remember the old Pay and Save? I don't mean the one at the Marysville Mall. That's where I worked. That was the first job I had where I paid taxes. But anyway, she worked at the other one, the first one that was next to Safeway. In fact, the Pay and Save then is now Planet Fitness. So that's where I'm talking about. And I remember being impressed. This is not going to impress any of you, so just be disappointed. Here we go. But I remember being impressed by walking up to the entrance and the doors would just open. As a kid, I thought that was amazing. Now, today, it's like a sensor and it sees you coming and the doors open up. But I'm telling you, I'm pretty sure back then you had to put your foot on the mat. I think that's the way it went. And then it would open. So if you put your foot on the wrong spot, you'd bang into the door because it wouldn't open. And so now, why do I bring that up? Or, you know, what kind of moron? Anyway, so, but my point of bringing it up is this. To me, that's a picture of faith. What do I mean by that? Specifically, I mean you take a step and a door opens. But if you don't take a step, the door doesn't open. So again, we're trying to, my passion here is that you and I are challenged to stretch our faith. And we're going to look at Joshua chapter 1 here in a few moments, but so far, this is a short series, it's a three-parter. So far in week 1, we talked about if you want to stretch your faith, you've got to immerse yourself in the stories of faith-filled people. We talked about Hebrews chapter 1 and and the Hall of Faith and all kinds of different individuals from the Bible, kind of all in one chapter that says, here's them, here's them, here's them, and how they stepped out in faith. One of the ways that I think is super important for you and I to see our faith stretch is by immersing ourselves in the stories of faith-filled people. Primarily, always, I always say, scripture and the stories we see in the Bible, but there are individuals for the last 2,000 years that have been walking out their faith in amazing ways. I mentioned the book God Smuggler, and a few people had downloaded it and listened to it and on their way to work and stuff and super encouraged by it. But again, immerse ourselves in the stories of faith-filled people. Last week, we talked about John chapter 15, and that if you and I want to stretch our faith, immerse ourselves in the stories, but also abide in Jesus. John chapter 15, it specifically says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you will bear much fruit. If in here you would say you're a follower of Jesus, then guess what? You're meant to bear fruit, but you can't bear fruit by trying by yourself. You can't bear fruit by doing the I think I can thing. It's about you and I understanding we've got to abide in or make our home in Jesus regularly, not just a Sunday to Sunday thing, that we look at our lives through the lens of being in Christ. And so abide, and then in John chapter 15, it says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask. So then it talks about, we mentioned this, praying. So as we immerse ourselves in stories, and as we abide in Jesus, then comes a place of prayer where when we have the heart of God, when we have the passions of God, he brings something front and center that he wants us to accomplish. He gives us what some would call a vision. By definition, it's a mental picture of a preferred future. Now, let me say this. I believe every single person within the sound of my voice right now ought to have a vision from God. And I don't mean that in some weird, esoteric, super spiritual way. I believe when you and I commit to immersing ourselves in the stories of faith-filled people, and when we commit to abiding in Jesus, the natural outflow is some kind of picture that stirs you. And maybe that picture is, I am sick and tired of having this habitual sin, and I'm ready to draw the line and overcome and walk out repentance so I can become what God wants me to become. I have a vision for my neighborhood, that I don't just live in a home where I open the garage door and drive in and shut the door and I don't know who my neighbors are. What would it look like to have the kind of neighborhood where there's camaraderie and encouragement and where your light shines into the lives of other people. You have a vision for what your workplace could look like, or maybe you're a business owner or entrepreneur, and you create the environment. What does it look like through God's work in you to have a vision for a business that's a Christ-centered place that wants to shine light and help and encourage and serve others? Some of you heard last week when we talked about, look, we're putting a school together. We talked about church planting. We got multiple emails from all kinds of people saying, I want to be involved. I want to be part of that. God gives you a burden. And some of you, it may just be, here's where your marriage is at today, but God gives you a passion to have something far healthier than it's ever been. And so a mental picture of a preferred future. There's all kinds of examples, and we could go on for days along these lines. But I would challenge you when it comes to this passion, what is stirring in you? And is there a way for that to advance kingdom work? Because it may just be an entrepreneur and a business, but it's not just a business. It's a place where you're called to be to glorify God in one way or another. So then finally, how do you glorify God within that vision? Because that's part of it. So then, it's you have the vision, it's time to act. And what I want to give you today from Joshua chapter 1 to Joshua chapter 9 is the next 4 hours of looking at all of these chapters. Just kidding. Anyway, but what I want to do is offer you a basic roadmap. And to be honest with you, I read a long time ago, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, those steps. I read a long time ago, 7 Practices of Effective Ministry. And so the general idea of what I'm about to share with you comes out of that kind of picture. But the beauty of it is this. I see this in Joshua chapters 1 through 9. So it says this in Joshua 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the people of Israel. I will give you every place where you set your foot. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. And some of you just need to hear that today. Be strong, verse 6. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all of the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Let's pray. Father, as we look at these words, that Lord, these are not just words from Joshua a long time ago. While that's true, I do pray that somehow as we look, we would understand the nature of faith-filled people and the nature of abiding in you, and realize you're wanting to do something with each of us. And for some of us, it's as individuals, and others, it's as couples in marriage, or it's in families. For some of it, it's us together when we think about the Grove School, or we think about the church planting, or we think about continued outreach and discipleship. Father, help us walk out what you desire, because I believe it's not just about immersing ourselves in stories. It's not just about abiding in you. It's realizing that when we do that, you give us pictures of what could be for our lives. So Jesus, help us realize today, it's no longer about stopping at that point, God, but it's realizing you're challenging us out of our comfort zone to accomplish what you've given us. And we're stewards. So help us figure it out the best we can, according to your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, what I want to do is, in part 3, the get out there piece, what I want to do is help you get into the vision. I want to help you realize, as you have this picture of what could be, that there's something to it that isn't just about, well, I hope it happens. Let me be honest with you. There's got to be in all of us a level of intentionality about the way that we live our lives, or those things won't happen. Because here's what I know. According to studies, the average American spends 7 hours on the internet and scrolling social media. 7 hours a day. For teenagers, that number goes up to 9 to 10 hours a day. How much of your life is that? That's like a third of your life spent what? Doing the easy thing. Spent what? Comparing your life to the lives of others that somehow have it better than you do, except that you're looking at their highlight reel, not their everyday lives. So we waste all kinds of time doing what's easy, and yet we're not necessarily accomplishing the vision that God has given us. It won't be easy. But let's start with, again, this 5 basic points today. Let's start with number 1. And again, this comes out of other things that I've read. Begin with the end in mind. That probably sounds really familiar if you've ever read The 7 Habits. And I figure there's no better way to put it. What does that mean? If you go, okay, I believe that I have a marriage that's like this, but maybe it could be so much better, so much deeper, so much richer. And a picture of what does that look like? Begin with the end in mind. The faithfulness, the conviction, the ability, according to the Apostle Paul, to serve one another, to love one another, to put others before ourselves, and that counts in marriage. For others of you, like I said, it's a business idea. It's a picture of some sort of entrepreneur thing you've got churning inside of you, stirring you. For others, it's realizing where you work now, things can change. For some, again, like I said, it's addiction. I've been going around and around the mountain on this, but I'm ready for it to be done because this is what freedom looks like. So for you, what would it look like to begin with the end in mind? Here we're still at the 35,000 foot view. We're not flying down lower yet. We're at the 35,000 foot. Begin with the end in mind, or clarify the win. For Joshua in chapter 1, God gives him the vision. Now remember, he says, abide in me. He says, don't let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Be very careful to do all that's written. That's the abiding piece of John chapter 15. But then what happens? It says specifically, God gives him some direction. He says, I will give you the places where you set your feet, as I promised Moses. And then he says, here's your territory. And God literally spells it out. It's the promised land. It's what God said to Abraham. It's what God reminded Isaac and Jacob and all the Moses. It's what God said. The Mediterranean, across the Jordan, from the north, the south, the east, and the west. This is yours. So again, the picture's there. This is your promised land. Again, for you and I, what would it look like if our vision were fulfilled? If that dream God dropped in, that passion, that vision were to happen? What is the outflow? What does that mean? What does that look like? So number 1, begin with the end in mind. The second thing is this. After you have this picture of what could be way over here, put things in order. And again, it's super simple. But here's the thing. If you're here and you have a dream of being here, but no plan to get there at all, it's just going to continue to be a dream. It's just going to continue to be something that will never happen. It's why, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, I would challenge you, stop scrolling, just doom scrolling for hours. Stop medicating yourself and binge watching all of these things. At the end of the day, maybe there's nothing wrong with the internet or you know, watching certain things, but honestly, for many of us, it's actually a hindrance to the things that God has showed us. It's not helping us get to where we need to go. And some of you just need to confront that today. I don't want to spend 7 hours of my life, 9 hours of my life, whatever that is, every day doing things. And you may go, no, that's nowhere close for me. For me, it's only like 3. Is that really where you want to spend 3 every day? So put things in order. Remember for Joshua in chapter 1, he said, God said, you're going to cross the Jordan and enter the promised land. But here's what you need to understand. It was the, you are here but you need to get to here. And on a map, it literally would be, you've got to get through the Jordan, and then you're going to end up at Jericho. And after that on a map, you're going to go to Ai, and after Ai, and so on and so on and so on and so forth. So for Gideon, or I'm sorry, for Joshua, it was, here's the whole picture with the end in mind. But now you've got to put things in order. Start by crossing the Jordan, deal with Jericho, then Ai, and then there'll be continued places to go. How can you, listen, how can you begin to put priorities in order to get you where God is calling you to go? This is why, as a pastor, I'm passionate, and I would hope it stirs in all of us, I'm passionate about spiritual disciplines. Not simply to be spiritual or feel good or check a box, but literally this idea of habits, of scripture reading and study regularly. I would challenge you daily. Habits of worship and songs like we sing on a Sunday that you put in a Spotify playlist and listen to those things. Places of prayer where you get away from the clutter and craziness of our world and go, God, I'm here and I'm here for you. Disciplines, being in a gathering like this to be challenged as a regular habit, not just because it works for our schedules or doesn't work, and so it is what it is. I hear sometimes people talking about, I just saw somebody put this out there the other day. I'm tired of going to church. It's always you show up and somebody says, hey, welcome. And they do a bunch of songs. And then a guy gets up there and yells at us for about 30 minutes. And then he brings some sort of challenge. And then we pray and they might do another song. And then some guy gets up or some gal gets up and says, thanks for being here. Hey, give a bunch of money. And hey, we got these events coming up and have a great day. That's not good enough for me anymore. That was the post. And you know what? On one hand, I can understand if indeed that's the thing. But the other side of it is this. Sometimes it's simply about having the disciplines that take you where you need to go, and it isn't always about you being entertained. Are you not entertained? Right? And so I don't respond a whole lot on social media because for me it tends to be basically fruitless. But if I were to respond, my response would be, yeah, but sometimes it's just simply the discipline of doing the right thing, whether you like it or not. And by the way, my heart and prayer would be that we just don't simply walk through the repetition to sort of feel good about ourselves at the end of a Sunday. That we literally, even as we sing certain songs, even as we go through certain scriptures, we're believing that little by little, God is transforming us, doing a work that maybe we don't always see. But because certain disciplines are in place, we can greater discern the direction of God. And so number one, begin with the end in mind, but two, put things in order. What does it look like? And again, notes you can take. What does it look like for you to put certain priorities in order that will lead you from where you're at to where you believe God would want you to be? Again, you could talk marriage, addiction, raising kids, vision for church, school stuff, business things, whatever it is. You're here. And God shows you, but you could be here. So what does that look like? Because you gotta start somewhere. The other piece of it is this. When you begin to put your priorities in order to help you get there, it also helps you understand what needs to go away that's hindering you from getting there. Because we all know there are certain things in our lives that we're spending time, I already mentioned, like the hours and hours on social media. Like, wow, that's a long time that's wasted instead of invested. And there's plenty of examples of what that looks like. So begin with the end in mind, put things in order. Number three, create clear steps and habits. And you might go, well, isn't that just like two? Let me explain it this way. If you have here and where God shows you over here, And you take step two, to me that would be like, well, here's this, but then there's like, let's just say there's four things in between, right, to get to here. What I'm saying in step three when I say create clear steps and habits is this. What about the steps between the steps? It's like that phrase, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Sometimes from here to here feels like eating an elephant is too big. I can't do all that. But hold on, if you break it down, if you get more specific. So for Joshua, God says, here's where I want you to go, and here's the parameters, and that's the big picture. That's the promised land. And then God says, here's what you need to do to put certain things in order. But then you get to the second part of Joshua 1. Like I said, 4 hours we'll be here. Joshua 1, we're going to get through 9. But if you look at what happens after what I read, what you see is Joshua 1, verse 10. Listen. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready, for 3 days from now, we will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. So again, God shows them the big picture promised land. God shows them, you're going to cross the Jordan and you're going to get to Jericho and you get to Ai, and there's other things beyond that. But then it gets more specific steps. What do I got to do just so that we can get to the cross of Jordan piece? And what does he do? He goes to the commanders of certain groups of people and says, I need you to get this group ready. I need you to get this group ready. I need you to get this group ready. I need you to get this group and you to this group. 3 days from now, let all these people know we're going to cross the Jordan. So that's what he does. And then he remembers there's 2.5 tribes. If you look at verse 12, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, 2.5 tribes that said to Moses, hey, I see the promised land, and that's exciting, but our 2.5 tribes want to settle over here because it's pretty awesome land. And somehow in a deal with Moses and the Lord, God says, okay, you can stay there. You don't have to cross the Jordan in the promised land. But when it comes time for everyone to cross, you're going to cross, and you're going to help come alongside them and deal with the battles they have to fight, and then you can go back to that land. So Joshua says to the commanders, let the people know 3 days. Then he goes, I got to go back over to the Reubenites, Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh and let them know, hey, you guys aren't going to live over here. You're going to stay over here, but you still are supposed to come with us. So he does that. And then in chapter 2, finally we're at chapter 2, then at chapter 2, it says specifically he sends out spies to go spy out the land of Jericho. And that's when they encounter Rahab and this whole story of, she's mentioned in Hebrews 11, a woman of faith. She's in the lineage of Jesus. It's a beautiful story. But as a prostitute, she invites these guys in, and they're spies. And so they are looking at the land, and they have this whole conversation in chapter 2, and she saves them and protects them, and they head out. But my whole point in this thing is this. These are clear steps. And finally, you get to Joshua chapter 3, and they cross the Jordan. So there's a bunch of little steps on the way to getting to this one. And there's going to be a bunch of little ones in a moment to get to Jericho. And same thing with Ai. And so as you look at the picture, begin with the end, promised land. But don't forget, number 2, put things in order. You got to have priorities. Figure out what your priorities ought to be, big picture things. And then get real specific. If you go, I want my marriage to be deeper and better. I just can't live with where it's at. It's got to be better than this. Okay, what does that look like? Well, I want to go on a vacation next summer with my wife, and I have a great time for a week or two in this place. I want to renew our vows at this point and recommit to this thing and double down on us being married. Well, if you want to go on a vacation next summer, some of you guys go, I got to figure out how to save some money. I got to stop spending on this and start socking money away towards this, right? I got to go figure out what is the price of plane tickets cost when we fly there, right? Practical. So again, all kinds of examples of what this looks like. This is one example. Create clear steps and habits with greater clarity to accomplish the priorities you've set down. It's super practical. Number 4, observe how things are going along the way. So I put down observe and tweak accordingly. But there's something about, again, you go, here's the big picture. Here's the big steps, here's the things in between. But you might get to some of the things in between and go, I don't know those are helping me as much as they could. Maybe there's another habit, or maybe there's something that could look a little bit different, or whatever that is. Observe and tweak accordingly. And so when you look at Joshua, you get to Joshua chapter 3, and they cross the Jordan. But then what happens? After they cross the Jordan, it's a pretty incredible celebration because the Jordan River is at flood stage. So it's crazy over the banks. And the Lord says, tell the priests and Levites to get in the river with the Ark of the Covenant, and the water's going to stop. And a miracle is performed. They get through the Jordan, and in chapter 4 of Joshua, Joshua says, hold on. Before we go any further, man, we got to celebrate, which we'll get to that in a moment. But he says, I want one guy from each of the 12 tribes of Israel to go down in the water and grab a big stone. And they go down in the river and they each grab a big stone, and Joshua says, carry it over here and put it in a pile. And it's literally called stones of remembrance. And they do that, and they stop and they worship and sacrifice to God, praising him for his goodness. Again, they're on the journey, and Joshua's like, hey, we gotta stop and thank God for this. And then we get to chapter 5. And it says, because it took so long for the Israelites to get to the promised land, that they spent so much time in the desert. Well, they spent so much time in the desert that the original generation of warriors that were circumcised passed away. And so in chapter 5, the Lord, because Joshua is abiding in him, says, hey, you need to reconsecrate the Israelites because many of them have been circumcised. And that was a covenant that God made with them. Covenant of circumcision, starting with Abraham. So Joshua goes, all right, guys, here's the deal. All you warriors, you came along after the original circumcision situation. We're all going to get circumcised. And everybody in the crowd went, yippee! You can imagine, like, oh, wow. Okay, but we'll move on. It says that it was beyond just circumcision. They were reconsecrating themselves. God, we want to obey you and do what you've called us to do over doing what's always easy and what's always comfortable, because that was not easy or comfortable. And it says that they reconsecrated the men in particular, and they spent time healing, which you can imagine they needed some time to heal. And then at the end of chapter 5, Joshua is getting ready to figure out the battle plan to take out Jericho. And at one point on the journey, this guy shows up. And Joshua goes, hey, are you for us or for our enemies? And this individual, who was an angel, says, I am neither for you or for your foes, but I am all about what God wants. And then he gives them these directives. He says, listen, here's your battle plan for Jericho. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to get everybody ready, and for 6 days in a row, you're going to march around Jericho. And then on the seventh day, you're going to march around Jericho 7 times. At the end of the 7th time, the ram's horns are going to blow. And at the point that you hear the ram's horns, I want you to yell the greatest shout you can yell. And when you do that, the walls of Jericho fall. How many of you guys know that's not the way to rout an army, to take out Jericho? That's what God says. He says, that's what you're going to do. And so Joshua says, all right, we'll do it. And that's exactly what happens, and they rout Jericho. But part of the understanding of Jericho is this. God specifically says, do not take the consecrated items. Do not have your heart filled with lust for the gold and the ornaments and the garb that they wear and the people of the land. Don't do that. Everything either needs to be destroyed or some of it needs to be dedicated to God. And what happens is some of the people go, wow, that's a super cool coat. Wow, that's some pretty nice jewelry. Holy cow, did you see that bar of gold? And they're like, let's keep it. And they do. And they hide it away and they disobey God. Again, the journey for every one of us, sometimes it's 2 steps forward, 1 step back, 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. This is a step back. So they get to Ai. And David draws up a battle plan, and they head towards Ai, and they far outnumber the people of Ai. And it says that they were routed by them, that the Israelites were routed by this people that they thought would be easy to take out. And so Joshua comes back from this battle after they're defeated. And again, remember, God said, hey, everywhere you go, you're good. I'm with you. You got this. And so Joshua's like, Lord, what happened? I got nothing. And guess what? Now the other nations are going to hear that we were easily defeated, and they're all going to come at once and take us out, and we're going to be toast. So Joshua has a panic attack. He freaks out. And God specifically says, hey, if you're spending some time talking to me, let's talk. There's sin in the camp. And so God gives Joshua a directive of what to do. They figure out the sin issue. And they deal with it, and it's super rough because Achan and his family are annihilated, and they repent of the sin issue, and they move on to Ai, and God says, now it's time. You've dealt with the sin issue. So again, when I say all of this and go through these chapters, observe and tweak accordingly. Deal with what you have to. As you're abiding in Christ, as you're filling yourself with faith-filled stories, these are things that along the way come up and you're like, well, what do we do now? And I believe there's a God who will show us, and that's what we see in these stories. So in Joshua chapter 8, Ai is destroyed. You get to Joshua, the last part of chapter 8, and once again, in Joshua's reverence for who God is, hey, we need to stop and worship. We need to give God praise for his goodness. And then you get to Joshua chapter 9. And Joshua chapter 9 is the story of the Gibeonites. And the Gibeonites deceive Israel and say, we're from a land far off and we don't have any bread or anything to drink. And if you could just help us out and make an agreement with us, they're like, oh, you're from a land far off? Yeah, let's make an agreement together. Here's some food, here's some wine. We're good. And they shake hands in a pledge. And then they find out they were lied to. But the crux of the chapter is verse 14 and 15, Joshua 9. The Israelites sampled their provisions, but did not inquire of the Lord. So again, it's another two steps forward, one step back. Golly. But to be honest with you, isn't that life sometimes? Like, we might have the vision and we have the plan and we wanna, hey, let's focus on the marriage. We wanna have the great marriage. How do I have a great marriage? Here's what I wanna do. We say, babe, I'm so excited because I can't wait to improve our marriage. And next summer, I'm stoked to go on vacation with you. Just me and you, 7 days. I'm looking at Hawaii. I think we can pull it off. And she goes, no, we can't. The kids have soccer and they have a tournament that time. There's no way it's going to happen. Three steps forward, one step back. No, we can totally do it. No, we can't. I never liked you anyways. I don't know where your fights go, but you better be careful about what gets said in those moments. It's a silly example. But again, just like the Israelites, it's moving forward. And there's hangups and there's sin, there's stuff that happens. And it's not an excuse for those things, but it's going, Lord, how do we get to where we need to go? Observe and tweak accordingly. And then finally, celebrate wins all along the way. Sometimes in the life that we live, we forget to stop and celebrate. Certain times where it's like, man, God's been so good. I know this is a crime and some of you are gonna judge me for it, but last night my family and I watched the movie Elf. And it's too early for that, but we did. And if you wanna watch it this afternoon, let me know, we'll go figure out how to do it. Anyway, but in the movie Elf, they're in the workshop and Santa's there and they celebrate that they delivered all the toys and they're all excited that all the kids got the toys. Anybody remember this scene? And within 5 seconds, they're like, and now it's time to make preparations for next year. Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. They celebrate for like 30 seconds. And I say that, and it's a dumb, silly movie and all that stuff, but not based on a true story, by the way. But I say that because sometimes in our lives, we don't step back and go, wait a minute. In what ways could I thank God today? In what ways should I celebrate certain moments? Sometimes it's obvious. When I think about what's happened at Grove and a year ago, grand opening, celebrate. Yeah, but what about celebrating along the way people jumping in to serve? Celebrating along the way people getting connected in groups? Celebrating along the way that you invited family members and they got baptized a couple weeks ago? Celebrating the things that God is doing that don't feel ginormous, but are worth celebrating. I loved how we had a Wild at Heart conversation a few days ago, but one of the things that we talked about at the end was, hey, what is something you could take away from reading the book? And a lot of guys said this. I want to pray with my wife every day. Guess what? That was a few days ago. And some of you in the room have now prayed with your wife for 3 days in a row. Congratulations. Because some of the conversation was, it could feel awkward. If you're not familiar with it or used to it, sure it can. But it's such a beautiful, fun thing when you can pray together and it's not this thing like, oh, here we go, like, you want to pray? What if God met you with a dream or a prayerful passion and that came front and center and God was faithful to fulfill it? What if this God that we talk about that wants to stretch our faith gave us something, some mental picture of a preferred future, and you began to go, how can I reprioritize things? How can I create the right steps? I'm gonna be honest, man. We gotta stop playing games. We gotta quit wasting our time scrolling social media going nowhere. We gotta figure out, God, what is it that stirs me? What could be accomplished with the time I have, with the resources I have, with the talents I've been given, with the marriage that you've entrusted to me, with the family that I get to raise? God, what does that look like? I've said launching businesses, for some of you, it stirs in you, and you've been so afraid. Let me just challenge you with that. What if you conquered that fear? If you pray, I don't necessarily believe God will take it. I don't believe God will take the fear away. I actually believe God will challenge you to move forward anyways. You're gonna feel the butterflies. You're gonna feel sick to your stomach. For the longest time, when I would be asked to speak in other places, I would go to those places, and for hours beforehand, I would be so nervous. Like, I would not be myself at all. Like, hey, you good, man? And they're like, well, maybe we shouldn't invite him to come. He's freaking out. But again, it's stepping up anyways. It's doing what God says anyways. It's walking out a simple step or two anyways. And what you'll find, like the pay and save door, is when you step, doors open. How many of you guys believe God is faithful? How many of you guys believe God is huge? How many believe God wants to meet you where you're at and help you as you take steps of faith, reveal little steps along the way? Forget all the reasons why something can't happen with your life and start to believe, but what if something could? Right? What if something could? I want to take a few moments and pray. Because for some of you, I mentioned the neighborhood thing. You've been living in your neighborhood for a long time and you don't know anybody. And for some of you, I believe God wants to change that. That you can get to know some neighbors and love them like Jesus would, instead of just existing where you live. For some of you, it's the business thing. I've been dreaming, thinking, praying. I don't know what to, today's the day to think about this message. For some of you, it's the marriage. For some of you, it's dealing with addiction going, I gotta confront this stuff. I'm done going around and around and around the mountain. There's all kinds of ways this plays out, but what I want to do is I want to pray. And I want to invite the Holy Spirit into your world right now. Because I believe in a God who would challenge you, stretch your faith. Take steps whether you're afraid or not, because you'll be amazed to find a God who is faithful. Amen. Jesus, today, I pray that your Spirit would challenge us. I pray that none of us would get away from this message going, well, I checked the spiritual box and it feels good to be at church today and now I can go home and I think this is a short series so we can move on. But instead, God, to consider in this room, online even now, your Spirit challenging us, what does it look like to have the mental picture of a preferred future and to set priorities in order? And to create steps along the way and to tweak on the journey so we can be as effective as we can be and celebrate small and big wins, because that keeps us going when things get hard. Jesus, meet us. Jesus, show us. Reveal what we could accomplish, how we steward what we're entrusted to, for your glory, in Jesus' name.